Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in that hymn that we just sang, you have prayed magnificently. If you don't say another prayer this whole week, you have just covered your week with a wonderful prayer. A prayer for the blessings of God's Word and His grace and protection upon His church to restrain false teachers and haughty spirits and cause the truth of God to remain and to be enjoyed by God's people. What a lovely, lovely hymn. All right, now to business. The parable of the sower is all about how the Word of God fares in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ sends His holy church out into the world to preach the Word of God to every person. And so the word is sown, and it is sown extravagantly. Seed is thrown all over the place. Seed is thrown on the pathways of life. It's thrown upon the rocky soil of life. It is thrown where weeds grow, and it is thrown on good ground. The Word of God goes everywhere. Now listen. The Word of God is like seed in another way. When you look at seeds, they look pretty worthless. They look like they can't do much of anything. Just these little things. And yet you take this little thing that doesn't seem to be very important at all, and you plant it in the right ground, and that seed will become an apple tree and give pleasure and refreshment for years to come. So it is in the world that the Word of God is despised. It is considered of no importance. But that Word grants the bearing of fruit in many and refreshing ways. Just as that tiny little seed is powerful, so it is that God's Word, though of no account in the world, it is powerful, and it accomplishes God's purposes. In our Old Testament lesson today, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. That means it won't come back having failed. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's Word will always do its work. Even when a person rejects it, that rejection is a rejection of the truth that has been delivered, given, and heard. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So, how does this word fare in the world? It's preached all over the place, all the time. How does it fare? Well, it says that for many people, it is like seed sown along the pathways, the byway. All right, along the wayside. That's where the path is, where people have trampled the ground down so that it's a hard path and the seed cannot penetrate the hardened pathway. And so the seed just lays on the surface until the birds come and take it away and eat it. Right? That's the way the word God, the word of God fares in many human hearts. They hear the word of God. They may even want to be considered Christians, but they harden their hearts against the truth of God's word, and they remain without faith, without life, and without the benefit of the word, because their hearts are hard and they will not receive it. Though they want to be thought of as pious and Christian and religious, they will not receive the word of God. And then finally, the devil notices it, and he sends false teachers, heretics, cults, secularistic nonsense messages. And he uses these things to steal the word of God away from these people, lest they might believe and be saved. Now, this is the great majority of people in the world. The word of God comes to them, and with the word of God, the Holy Ghost comes to them. The only thing that keeps them from being blessed with salvation is that they harden their hearts against the word of God, will not receive it, and remain without it. And they bring no fruit to bear. That is, they are finally lost. All right, but not everybody is like that. So Jesus tells us of another. The seed that's sown in rocky ground. There may be a thin layer of earth, but underneath that, there is rock. And he says, some seed falls upon the rock. And they initially, they receive the word with joy. But they can't take the heat, because faith in Christ will bring the opposition of the world and the hostility of family and friends and neighbors, because you will not sing to the world's tune, you will not dance to the world's rhythms, and therefore the world will turn up the heat on you. And these people, because they initially get real enthusiastic, and then things get a little rough, and their faith peters away, and they disappear. How many times haven't I seen it as a pastor in my life? We have some new people who come into the church, and initially they're like, this is really great. This is good. Oh man, I haven't been to a church like this in a long time. And they get real enthusiastic. And then after about 3 or 4 months, they begin to say, you know, this, it's just church. And they start missing church. You know, this is how it happens. You miss church once a month. Then you see that you didn't die. So you start missing church twice a month. And lo and behold, you're not dead. So you start missing church 3 times a month. And pretty soon you're that guy that people say, whatever happened to that guy? Remember he used to sit right over there? Whatever happened to that guy? And up in heaven there is a rumble at the throne of the Lord. Right? Because that guy, he couldn't take the heat. He couldn't take the heat. He was initially real enthusiastic. This is great. This is great. And then he ran out of steam. Things got heated up. He mentioned something to a family member. He mentioned something to a colleague at work. And suddenly he discovered that the world isn't very glad to hear the word of God. And he was offended that he was suddenly disliked by people who used to like him just fine. And instead of sticking with it and growing and letting the word take root in his heart, fell away and became a casualty. You see, there are some people who start off good. They start off enthusiastic. They receive the word with joy. But then in time of temptation, in time of tribulation, when it comes time to bear the cross and be faithful, they don't have the word deep in their hearts. It's on the surface. And they fall away. But that's not everybody. There's a third group. Third group are the seed, the word of God is sown among the thorns. And it takes root. But the thorns, they grow up alongside of it and they choke the word out. What is this? This is talking about all those people who receive God's word and they want to be Christians and they rejoice in the things of God, but they do not have a proper relationship to the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. And instead of being wary of those things, and instead of having a proper spiritual attitude towards these things, they allow worldly cares, pleasures, and riches to grow up alongside of the word, and eventually the worldly cares and troubles and the riches and the pleasures of life will choke the Christian faith right out of a person. And you see this. Person starts off zealous in the faith. They are glad to be a member of Christ's church. They rejoice and are faithful, coming to the Lord's altar to sup with the Lord and He with them. And then they allow some sin against the Ten Commandments to flourish in their life. They do not fall to their knees and repent, but they rather justify that sin because of some kind of worldly concern. And they begin to deceive themselves that what God calls evil is actually a good thing. And what happens is, as they continue in that sin without repentance, their faith is choked, choked, and choked until finally it is choked away and they are as lost and dead in sin as if they'd never been baptized. So there are many people who never get started because with hard hearts, the word of God is never able to penetrate. And there are others who they get real enthusiastic at the beginning, but once they realize that being a Christian makes you different from being in the world, they can't take the heat and they give up and fall away. And then there are those who have an unhealthy clinging to riches, to pleasures, and to the cares of this world. And they let these things choke the word of God out of them until they no longer have true faith in the love and grace of God. They may still be in attendance. They may still want to be considered Christians, but they have fallen from the grace of God and they bring no fruit to perfection. The final thing is that some of the seed falls on good ground. Some of the seed falls on good ground. And what is this good ground? Right? These are the people who are genuinely converted to the Christian faith. Right? It says here that Jesus says in verse 15, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, I want you to bear with me for a second because I want you to pay attention to the way it's worded. Notice it says, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. Or we would say that in modern English, we would say, in an honest and good heart, after hearing the word, they keep it and they bring forth fruit. Why am I beating that horse? It is because I want you to understand that a good and honest heart is the result of the work of the word. All right? Having heard the word in a good and honest heart. See, the word makes your heart good and honest. We call it being born again. We call it being converted. We call it regeneration. That's when the Holy Ghost comes to you in your unbelief and He brings you to faith. Having heard the word, we now have by faith a good and honest heart. And in this good and honest heart, by faith, we keep the word of God. That means we treasure it. We cling to it. We obey it. And we rejoice in it. And then finally, we bring forth fruit. We do those things that the seed produces in us. See, the seed of God's word produces faith in us, and faith produces fruit, just like a tree produces fruit. Faith produces fruit. And those fruits are the things that bring blessing to ourselves and to others. So, having heard the word, they keep it and they bear fruit. And they do so with patience. Why? Because they are always tempted. Because the world is always hostile. Because things never go the way you expect them to go. You need patience to be a Christian. You need to let the word soak down deeply inside of you. You need to cling to it, and you need to turn from those things that are destructive to faith and that frustrate faith. And the last thing we want is shallowness of faith. The last thing we want is a hard heart growing up in us. The last thing we want is to let the dross of this world rob us of our heavenly treasure. And therefore, we keep the word of God in faith. And by faith and by the grace of God, we bear fruit in patience. Because the world will never cooperate with our faith. And therefore, patience is required. Amen.